This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And whoops, that would be me. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to WNRN. This is Independent Community Radio. We want as many people listening as we can, not only because we're good, not only because we're here for you, but because we're interesting and exciting, and because we're bringing you today Jackie Bright, Executive Director of Big Brothers, Big Sisters of the Central Blue Ridge. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
I always appreciate people who come in on their Sundays.
Oh, well, you know what? I appreciate you having the show on a Sunday. Gives me something to do.
But you said you had a big dog.
I do have a big dog. I do. He's a German Shepherd. And he's still a puppy. He's a little over a year, but he's over 100 pounds.
And big dogs are always appreciative when you're home rather than away.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
So your German Shepherd is probably not as excited that we're here today.
He was a little sad this morning that he wasn't going to go on a walk, although I can't really walk anyway because he actually broke my foot Christmas. So
that's what happens sometimes with big dogs. So again, WNRN, this is the Sunday morning wake-up call. We're going to be talking with Jackie Bright from Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Central Blue Ridge. We're going to be talking about what they do, but we're going to sort of expand the conversation because I think it's more challenging than it used to be to just have a big brother or a big sister, not just in terms of finding the mentor, but in terms of why that's needed. And so hang tight with us. We're going to be here today having a really great conversation with Jackie. This is 91.9 and the Crozet and the Valley's 101.1. So, Jackie, let's jump right into it. Jackie Bright, she is the executive director of the Big Brothers, Big Sisters of the Central Blue Ridge. I'll ask that question in a minute. But as I'm conversing with you over the week about the show, I talk with friends and family about the show, and one of the first questions that always comes up is, how do you do that now? You know, today's society, how do you match an adult who you only have some sort of, you don't have full background knowledge of, with a child, and then send them out into the world to spend time together? You know, are you asking for trouble? What is the legal problems that you might have? Child safety concerns.
Well, I mean, you really hit it on the head. That's our number one priority, is to take care of really both the child and the volunteer. I mean, you know, as you said, we're doing our best to do background on the child and the family and the volunteers, and we want to make sure that everybody is put into a safe and healthy and positive situation. So for us, what that means is we put a great deal of our resources into the enrollment process. So we spend a lot of time getting to know the families, getting to know the children. We interview the children on their own, separate from their families. We interview the prospective big. We interview their friends and family. We get references. We do layered background checks.
You said the prospective big.
Right. So that would be our mentors in our program, our volunteers. We call them big brothers or big sisters. So during the course of the show today, you'll probably hear me reference them as bigs or the match. And the match is when the big or the mentor is paired with the mentee, which is also known as the little in our program.
Okay.
And once they're paired together, we call them a match. So for us, as I said, it's really critical that we put a lot of our resources into that beginning stage. I mean, that's really where we can determine if we're going to create a strong relationship, right? So what we're doing, again, is heavy interviewing, heavy reference checking, heavy background, lots of layers of background checks and trainings. And then once the big and the little is matched, you know, that's also where we provide a lot of additional support in the way of a match support specialist. So on our team, we have individuals who we essentially pair with a match. So think of it maybe like a social worker. And that individual stays with the match through the entire course of their relationship. So they essentially have somebody who is 24/7 available to them for support, but also monitoring them to make sure that the match is healthy and progressing in a positive way.
But there's, you know, you put all that effort into it.
Right.
But there's still, you know, there's still that concern, right? I mean, you've done your background check. Everyone is, because it comes from both sides. It's, you know, everybody always thinks about the adult, but there have been more than one or two instances in the past where a child, and there's just something happened recently, right, where the child who claimed that he'd gone to heaven and this big book came out, and then it recently the child said he did that for attention. It didn't actually happen. And so similar instances can take place in other relationships and other circumstances.
Well, and you know, what's interesting on our end, so to give a little background, the Big Brother, Big Sister agency, that's been in existence since the early 1900s. So we have over 100 years of evidence and data, and we can, what we've done organizationally, and I mean this more from the national level, our national Big Brother, Big Sister agency has worked with child safety organizations to develop essentially a set of standards that we have to follow. And so for us, we can look at, this is a tough job for somebody, but we can look at child safety issues, you know, court cases, things like that. And predators have a certain, there's red flag behaviors that we can identify very, very early on. So it's not necessarily that it's just the background check or just the interview, where just like you said, I mean, people can, they obviously they can lie and they could fly under the radar with background checks. A lot of predators unfortunately do. I mean, it's actually very difficult to catch a predator through a background check process. But that's why we rely so heavily on our knowledge of the red flag behavior. And we ask targeted questions in our interview process that will help identify and surface those behaviors or those responses, if you will. And so all of the staff that we have that are employed are trained in this interview process and this assessment process. But it's interesting, you know, when you were just talking about the child, you know, for us, that's actually where we see a little bit more of the issue is on the family and the parent side, because a family might be so intent on having their child receive a mentor, they might hide certain things from us. So, for example, a child might have a medical condition that they are fearful might impact their ability to receive a mentor. And it could be something basic, like they might have ADD and they might need to have medication, but they might hide the fact that they're a child on medication. Or we had an instance where a child had actually some bowel issues, and the parent didn't share that information with us, and that caused some challenges later on when we found out about those. But we haven't seen anything severe. We haven't seen any families who are, you know, hiding severe issues. And you really would be surprised that if you have highly trained professionals who are conducting some pretty intensive interviews, you can really find out a lot about people.
Jackie Bright, she's the executive director at the Central Blue Ridge.
I know. Say that five times fast. Yeah, this morning.
We're not going to try. Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and I. You know, I don't. Well, people always say, don't be so negative. But that's the question that comes up. And so I wanted to start with that. But you mentioned the history of Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And a lot of people say, I'm talking with folks and even myself and doing my homework, what's the difference between Big Brothers, Big Sisters and the Boys Club? They seem to be, I recognize that they're different entities and different organizations, but they do similar things. And talk about, you know, what is similar, but yet what is different?
That is a great question. And I have to admit, I mean, even our names sound really similar, right? So when you're, I actually find myself sometimes misplacing our names in conversation. But essentially what the Boys and Girls Club, their function is to provide a safe place for all kids to collect and be together and have group programming. And what our program focuses on, we're serving the same types of children. We're serving children who are living in poverty, who are in disadvantaged situations, typically a single parent household, maybe an incarcerated family member. So we're focusing on the same population of children. However, our approach is very different. So again, with the Boys and Girls Club model, it's really about creating a brick and mortar, a clubhouse, a safe haven, a place that the kids can go, they can engage in educational activities or healthy development activities. For our program, we're providing individualized support. So we're matching a child in need with a volunteer mentor, and that mentor, again, is providing individualized support. So they're spending time out in the greater community. And one of the real benefits to a lot of these children is they're able to have experiences beyond their neighborhood base. So if you think about a child who's living in poverty, you know, their sphere, their environment sphere is pretty limited based on the resources they have available to them. So having a mentor take that child and give them a whole new experience outside of that base is amazing for a child. They get to expand their interests. They get to learn about, you know, different parts of the community, develop new hobbies. It's a pretty amazing experience to see some of the boundaries just expand for these kids.
Jackie Bright, again, she's the executive director at our local Big Brothers Big Sisters. Jackie, can you define mentoring for me? Because I think of it in so many ways. You know, people talk about having their mentor, whether it's someone when they were growing up, whether it's someone at their job area. You can find that mentor at different stages in life. And you're obviously having it done at under the age of 18, correct?
Right, that's right.
So I'd like to know the definition of mentoring through the mission of Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Well, you know, that's such a great question, because I think mentoring is so individual, and depending on the stage of life and the needs you have, it does look so different, right? So the definition can be challenging. For our kids, it's really about helping guide them, give them a role model, and show them new experiences. So it could be something as simple as taking them to the hardware store with you. Maybe you're putting together a grill, and that's an experience that they might never have had, or taking them to a UVA game. So again, a lot of what we're doing is try to expand the experience base for these kids. But then on top of that, we're trying to just model good behavior. So we're putting people in their lives that they might not have otherwise have had access to. So for example, in these single parent situations, they might not have a father figure in their home. And so doing, you know, quote unquote guy things, they don't have an opportunity to really do that with someone, with an adult, a caring adult. So the basics, throwing a football. I mean, just teaching kids the basics, some of the things that you and I maybe take for granted, having grown up in the family structure that we've grown up in, and having, you know, our circle, our family circles of friends there to help us along the way. That's really what it is. We're creating a net, a safety support net for these kids, and trying to give them essentially the advantages that you and I have had growing up that maybe we take for granted.
15 minutes after the hour today, talking about Big Brothers Big Sisters at the moment, but expanding the conversation as we go through the hour with Jackie Bright. Jackie, how has Big Brothers Big Sisters changed in its expectations, or has it changed? Because you talk about throwing the football, or, you know, going to the hardware store. Those seem to be things that you could take back to the 1950s.
Right.
I always come up with these images in my head of, you know, something that, now don't get all excited out there. I couldn't have done that with my dad of the 1950s. I'm not quite that old. But that's the image that I get when people talk about the good old days. But things have changed in terms of, you know, the good old days, the 70s, the 50s, the 90s. And now here we are in the 2010s. So how has what qualifies as a good day out changed?
That's so true. So I've heard stories throughout the organization's history, and I mean more of the national Big Brother, Big Sister history, about bigs who actually had their littles living with them. I mean, there are extreme examples that were the norm back in the day. I mean, these people were essentially taking in these kids and providing support in a way that might just seem wild to us today. I mean, as a volunteer, I'm sure you certainly wouldn't think to yourself, oh, I'm going to be meshed with a little and they're going to be living with me for years and I'm going to help them, support them through all these difficult times. So just that piece alone, I've seen that change dramatically. But for us, you know, I think what we focus on, which speaks to your question about what exactly sort of makes up sort of the mentoring activities, in the beginning stages of a match, we really focus on having the children develop strong relationships with the adults and vice versa. So we focus on activities that they're going to just enjoy together, things that are, like you said, throwing the football, simple but fun, and it helps create a bond between the big and the little. Once that bond has been formed, then we start introducing elements that really help the child to develop in a positive way. So, for example, academics. We have a very strong focus on academics and helping these kids really make it to the next stage in life. So focusing on dropout rates and making sure they're advancing to the next grade level on time, helping with test scores and homework, and focusing on the next phase. So making sure that we're helping the children to think about their futures in a way that sometimes doesn't always come up in the home. There's not always a lot of conversation about college in the homes of a lot of our kids. And so having a mentor in their lives that is even willing and able to talk about college is a big deal. And so those are a few elements, but also kind of touching back to that safety issue is helping these children to navigate difficult situations that they might encounter, like bullying, and really just understanding how to handle those tough situations that you encounter as you're growing up, being exposed to drugs and alcohol, teen pregnancy, things like that. Having a trusted adult in their life that they can talk to, that can help, again, model good behavior, that's not necessarily their parent, that can be really critical to helping these kids navigate that. But I would say, you know, bullying is a really tough one that's come up. I don't want to say it's, you know, just super recent, but I would say that would be probably the biggest challenge that we're seeing, that certainly wasn't even in my, when I was growing up, that wasn't nearly the issue it is today. And it's a tough one. It's a tough one for a lot of kids.
You're welcome to call in with your question or comment for Jackie Bright here today, Executive Director, Big Brothers, Big Sisters of the Central Blue Ridge. You can also go to the website. Lots of interesting information. Some of the material we'll cover here during the hour, but lots of things we won't. Upcoming events and other things. www.blueridgebigs.org, one of the better websites, website names, blueridgebigs.org. Hang tight.
Support today for WNRN comes from
B&W Auto Body, Charlottesville's Collision Repair. After an accident, insurance providers may direct you to shops that compromise resale, warranty, and safety. You have a choice. B&W Auto Body will help you understand your rights, accepts all insurance, and repairs your vehicle to federal safety standards. BWAutoBody.com.
Lexington Rockbridge Area Tourism and the City of Buena Vista, promoting the natural wonders, great American heroes, and charming towns of the Rockbridge area. Information at LexingtonVirginia.com and CelebrateBuenaVista.org.
Foods of All Nations, Charlottesville's local grocery store with wine section, coffee bar, ice cream, and bakery. Foods of All Nations Ramen and International Hot Food Bar is open for lunch every weekday. From the esoteric to everyday grocery needs, it's Foods of All Nations on Ivy Road and FoodsofAllNations.com.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And here we are back in action with Jackie Bright. By the way, I think I teased and taunted you. You're welcome to call us up, 434-979-0919. That's right, 434-979-0919. Maybe you were a big brother or a big sister, or had a big brother or a big sister, and you want to give us that that success story in life. I'm sure Jackie has one here. We can go through a little later in the hour. Jackie, you mentioned about how the mentor helps with not drinking, you know, help, but I found something about the whole, the test that was done about the actual impact and the success rate of that. Talk about that.
So I think are you referring to within our program, how
yes.
we measure our impact? So we have this really incredible tool that we're able to essentially have real-time measurements of the success of our program. So it's great to talk about, you know, a child going out and catching a football with their mentor, but what we really want to demonstrate is that activity is leading to positive changes for the child. And we can do that through some of the measurement tools we have. So one of them in particular, we have a youth outcome survey. And it's given to the child in the beginning of in the program, and that's uses our baseline. And then every 12 months after that, we revisit that and see where the child is. That particular survey is really looking at several attitudinal areas. So we're looking at academics, we're looking at opinions of risky behavior such as drug, alcohol, fighting. If they feel they have a strong adult in their life, it's actually a scientific measure that was developed by some of the top researchers in the field of mentoring and youth development, and it's what allows us to actually say that we're an evidence-based program. It's an incredible way for us to report back to the greater community about the impact that we have on kids, which is rare. Sometimes that can be difficult working in nonprofit to have the ability to do that. We feel good about the outcomes, but we don't exactly know how to articulate the outcomes, or we can't always articulate them. And so it's actually something that really attracted me to this particular nonprofit was the ability to do that. I very much love data. I'm a data nerd. I love it.
Does religion play a role in big brothers, big sisters?
You know, not technically. So we are a non.
It's not part of the. It's not listed as part of the mission statement in
any
way?
No, not at all. So we are non secular. We do not endorse any religion. There is no religious elements woven into the fabric of our program. But we do recognize that it's an important component for the lives of our mentors and our mentees. And so, as you and I were talking before the show, that's actually something that we take into consideration when we're making a match. So again, it's not something that we necessarily support in the programming itself, but we recognize that, say, if a family has a particularly strong religious belief and a mentor does as well, we want to make sure that we're finding a match for those individuals that complements and supports that, rather than, you know, having someone with wildly different beliefs pairing them together. That doesn't necessarily make sense.
How about, so, you know, how about other issues? Maybe you can determine someone who goes to church every Sunday and who has strong faith, and you can determine not to match that with someone who's an atheist.
Right.
But how about other issues where someone who's vegetarian?
Absolutely. You know what? It's the spectrum. And we ask very targeted questions because this is really important. Making a strong match is going to be, it's going to mean the success for the child and the volunteer or not. So we really put a lot of energy and effort into this. So we're asking things like, are you dog friendly? Are you, you know, does the child have any aversions to cats or dogs? And do you have dogs in your home? It's everything from something as simple as that to your political beliefs. And I'll tell you what, during the election season, that comes full force. So we've actually had parents who've had differing political beliefs than the Biggs, and it's caused some pretty big issues. So, you know, we are really mindful about all the various points that there might be a conflict on, and we do everything we can to avoid that and match complementary personalities and interests. And but yeah, that was.
Do you receive any federal funding?
We do not. So we.
So you can ask questions like, "Are you gay?" and then
yes.
match someone up with someone of similar belief.
Exactly. Absolutely. So because we don't receive federal, we also don't receive state funding either. Again, it gives us a lot of flexibility to be very mindful about a lot of different things. And absolutely, we want to be respectful to everybody. And so we ask our parents, would you feel uncomfortable if your child was matched, say, with a gay mentor? We very rarely have issues with that. Very, very rarely. But we want to ask those questions because it's important. We want to make sure that it's a successful match for everybody, not just the child, but for the big as well.
And so you accept gay
absolutely.
And lesbian mentors.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, really, it has nothing to do with it. Being a great mentor, you do not have to be a superhero. You do not have to be some cookie cutter type of person, you know, the football quarterback, you know. It's all about just being willing to be consistent and just to show up and be there for a child. And it's really funny because so many people have this vision of this, of what a mentor is. And it really is that all American, you know, person who is just doing above and beyond. But in reality, some of our best mentors in the program are just people really like you and me who are willing to take a child every week and share their life with them. So like I said, going to the hardware store, sitting down in a coffee shop, maybe going for a hike, taking the dog for a walk, which actually would be helpful for me right now. But I mean, it's those simple things that can really mean a huge impact. It can make a huge impact on a child, and it doesn't require superhuman abilities.
28 after the hour, Jackie Bright's here today talking about the big brothers and big sisters. By the way, people always talk about big brothers and then they sort of pause with the full name being big brothers, big sisters, whether that's Blue Ridge, America, et cetera, et cetera. What's the percentage and, you know, the sort of, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, the neediness in terms of, you know, who shows up and on either side of the relationship?
Rick, let me just tell you, we're looking for a few good men. Let's just put it that way. You know, that is a great question. We traditionally see more female applicants to become a big sister than we do male. And unfortunately, our waiting list is skewed the opposite direction. So we have quite a few young boys, it's tough because some of our young boys end up on our waiting list for a lot longer than the young women because we just don't see as many men coming through the door. And, you know, I've talked to some of my male friends and I sort of get the same response that they just don't see themselves as being what they perceive a mentor to be. And it's sad because there's so many just great guys and, you know, we find these great, great kids and the men that we have in the program absolutely love it. Even the ones that were a little hesitant in the beginning and didn't know if they'd be a good mentor and didn't know what they would talk about and am I going to have a good relationship with this kid, and I don't really know much about kids anyway. And I mean, across the board, those are the folks who come back and say, this is just such a rewarding experience, and this, you have done such a great job in finding a little brother who is just like me. You know, we have one big brother, for example, who is a little more introverted, you know, think sort of a technology career and sort of your traditional staying at home, playing video games type of personality. And we have a kid who's exactly the same way. I mean, we have kids like that in our program. He loves Star Wars. This kid is fanatical about Star Wars and loves playing video games and just wanted somebody to talk to about that, those types of hobbies, and maybe talk about girls a little bit. And so it was really fun to match the two of them together because together they just formed this really fun and unique bond and they got each other and it was neat. And that's what we do. We find people who are going to get each other. Even if you're coming from totally different backgrounds, we're going to make sure that you have a lot of interests and things in common so that you just make a friend.
Jackie Bright from Big Brothers, Big Sisters of the Central Blue Ridge Is that because you have a northern Blue Ridge or an eastern Blue Ridge? Or
so that is another great question. You're hitting me with all the good ones this morning. So we actually, when the organization started, so the Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Central Blue Ridge began in the early 1980s. And at the time, it was actually serving Waynesboro, Stanton, Augusta Valley. And over time, it has expanded to include Charlottesville and Albemarle. Well, when I came to the agency at the end of 2011, they had just lost a significant grant, and it was by no issue. It was federal funding, and during one of the congressional sessions, they cut the grant. So this was a grant that was being received by hundreds of agencies across the country, and it was a 3-year commitment, and it was just wiped out after the first year. And that funding was providing a significant portion of the operating expenses for the agency. And with the loss of that, it made it really difficult to provide services to the extensive area that we were covering. I mean, to give you sort of an example, we were basically covering a service area the size of Connecticut. It was huge. We were going all the way to West Virginia. And so we scaled way back until we could get our resources back together and get our foundation strong. So today we're focusing on Charlottesville and Albemarle. We do have some services in Greene, Fluvanna, but we likely won't expand back out again, for another several years or so. We really want to get a strong foundation here and then reevaluate.
Let me ask you a question about kids today. And I don't want to approach that in the grumpy old man on my porch kind of aspect. I want to approach that in the aspect of parents, why are you doing this to make it so difficult for these kids today? So I think the news that I could find, I found one article. I remembered one article, and I'm Googling it, that took me to three articles that were very similar of parents that got in trouble for letting their kids walk alone to the park or from the park back to the house. And here we are trying to mentor these kids to make them stronger and better and help them make better decisions in their life, throughout life, at whatever age they're now moving forward. Because Blue Ridge, Big Brothers, Big Sisters starts at what age?
So we start at 6.
So whether these kids are finding their biggie at 6 or at 17, the goal is to help them grow and mature and learn outside of whatever box they are currently in. And yet, if the parent is trying to do that, the parent has decided that they're allowing them to do this in a safe environment, the neighbor or the police or Child Protective Services is saying, wait a minute, you need to go down the road and, you know, meet your kid at the bus stop, or you can't let them walk the half mile from the park back to the house in the suburban neighborhood because that's not safe. Now, I'd like to get you to step out of your executive director role.
Right.
And give me your thoughts on that.
It's a tough one, right? Because, you know, I was born here in Charlottesville. My dad is here in Charlottesville. He owns a spectacle shop. I've spent time back and forth between here and Montana, which is where I really grew up. And we grew up on this little ranch. And, you know, I feel like I have that quintessential walking uphill in the snow to the bus stop sort of story, you know, and riding my bike everywhere. And I remember having a lot of freedom to do a lot of things growing up. And now I look at some of the stories that you're mentioning on the news, and I'm really conflicted about it, because on the one hand, yes, there's dangers in society and we have to be thoughtful about that. And maybe there are new dangers that we didn't necessarily have growing up. But at the same time, if you don't allow for space to grow and to sort of test yourself, I don't know. It's how do you develop, I guess, the skills that you need to navigate through challenging situations if you're never allowed to be in a challenging situation.
Well, as a data nerd, my understanding is that crime rates are down from where they were in the 1980s and the 1970s and the 1960s. It's the information that has increased.
Right.
So the fact that fewer kids are going to be harmed by walking from the park to their house, but the it will be more heavily reported.
Right.
And then there's the people who say, but something might happen. And then, of course, they get them in their car and drive them, which is the place that most kids are injured, is in the car. And so I'm just curious as to, you know, where are we as a society? And again, and I always have to say this, I'm not a parent. I don't know. It's easy for me to stand over here and point my finger and criticize how you're raising your kids. But I feel the need to question it.
Well, and I'm not a parent either, so I should give that caveat too.
Let me crank
so don't
up
listen
your
to anything
microphone.
We're saying, right?
Let's crank up the microphone.
Ridiculous. Well, you know, I so from that sort of outside looking in perspective, you know, I think it's really interesting when, like you're saying, right, like letting a child walk to the park, for example, but then you give a child a cell phone at six and talk. I mean, if you're talking about dangerous access, I feel like technology has to be included in that conversation because there are so many dangerous, you know, so many more dangerous things on the internet and giving a child access to a lot of that stuff. I don't know. That seems to me to be a little bit more disconcerting, and maybe not even the dangerous element, maybe just technology itself. I mean, I love the story about Steve Jobs, who talked about not giving his kids any of the products he created. I thought that was really interesting, you know, and is that sort of the old man saying, well, you know, these kids these days, they shouldn't have these technology. But maybe there's something to that, too. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's
I just find it as, you know, as I'm doing my preparation for Jackie Bryant, executive director of our area Big Brothers Big Sisters coming on today's program, and how these kids are mentored and how they're learning to move forward in their life. And then I read about this news story and it just makes me think, what are these kids learning? They're learning to be scared. They're learning about the worst case scenario, to always think about the worst case scenario. It's one thing to be prepared for the worst case scenario, what to do if. So anyway, again, the guy without any kids, 11:39. Let's do this and thank our underwriters. And we'll come back and talk more about Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
The markets.
Our members are joined by the following underwriters in their support of WNRN.
The Lava Music Festival, presented by Devil's Backbone Brewing, on Saturday, May 16th at the Suffolk Executive Airport. 10 bands, no overlapping sets. Fits in the Tantrums of Montreal, Mute Math, Robert DeLong, Tokyo Police Club, and more. General admission and VIP packages are on sale now at lavafestival.com.
T&N Printing, serving Virginia since 1982. In addition to printing and copying, T&N specializes in construction document management, as well as dry mounting, binding, and mail services. T&N offers FSC-certified printing. T&N Printing can be reached at t-nprinting.com.
Hello, I'm Debbie from the International Rescue Committee. The IRC Charlottesville office is hosting a citizenship information session for immigrants who are thinking about applying for U.S. citizenship. This information session, which begins at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, February 11th at the Northside Library, will include a presentation on citizenship services offered by the International Rescue Committee. These services are available to any legal permanent resident. There will also be a question and answer period. IRC's low-cost immigration services are accredited by the Board of Immigration Appeals. There will also be information on citizenship preparation classes in the area, which help people prepare for the naturalization interview and test. For more information, you can contact me, Debbie Tuller, IRC's Immigration Outreach Specialist, 434-979-7772, extension 119. I'm Debbie, making a community connection on WNRN.
Make your community connection with WNRN. Email connection at WNRN.org with your nonprofit event or organization's information. Independent Music Radio, WNRN.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you so much for being here with us today. Currently talking about Big Brothers, Big Sisters with Jackie Bright. So, Jackie, you know, we talked about the need, the importance. When you go to the website, again, I want to toss that out there because I think it's such a great name, BlueRidgeBigs.org. Easy to remember, much easier than Big Brothers, Big Sisters of the Central Blue Ridge, which somebody could easily have typed up and taken. But there's the racial disparity. And so are there other groups out there that, you know, or is Big Brothers, Big Sisters locally working to bring more African-American or Hispanic men into the group to be mentors?
We are. In fact, we just launched a new program in partnership with the city and the Alliance for Black Male Achievement. And what it's providing is essentially targeted support for African-American teens. And we're recruiting African-American male mentors to pair with these teens. This is a pilot program. So the hope is that after we get a few, you know, months under our belt, we can expand this to include girls as well and different minorities. But so far, the program has generated quite a bit of interest. And I'll tell you, it's a really interesting approach to mentoring, because how it works is it takes the elements of our traditional mentoring model. So, for example, we'll have a African-American male mentor who's the big, and we have an African-American teenager who's the little. In this case, we call them the young lions. So we recognize that teenage boys don't always like to be called little. So we match them together, and they engage in one-to-one activities in the greater community, just as it does in our traditional program. But there's an added element. So once a month, all of the matches in this program, the mentors and the mentees, they get together and they participate in a workshop. And the workshop brings in leaders throughout the community who talk about all sorts of things, ranging from soft skill development to hygiene, family, community service.
What's a soft skill development?
So think of when you're applying for a job, for example, and you go into an interview and just developing those skills. So learning how to, how to navigate the workforce.
Read body language,
exactly.
and have chit chat. Conversation and things like that.
Exactly. How to hold yourself in an interview, for example, or, how to carry yourself. And a lot of those skills, again, those are not skills that are necessarily being taught in the homes for a lot of these kids. So this is a real opportunity for them to learn some really critical components that are going to be, you know, really needed for their success. And so these workshops, these monthly workshops, they're really going to be doing a whole lot of different course topics, if you will, and it'll include college campus tours. They're going on a ropes course 1 month where they'll learn really how to be a team. They're going to be doing some group community service together. They also have access to KHIP, which is the city's summer internship program. It's a paid internship program, and so all of the kids in this program will be able to take advantage of that, which is an incredible opportunity for these kids. So we're sort of marrying the two fundamentals of mentoring, sort of that group component with that one-to-one component. And we're really excited to see how this goes. We had our first workshop yesterday at the firehouse, actually. We're trying to rotate the locations around town, again, to capitalize on that exposure. We want to give kids new experiences. So we're looking at places like, bank boardrooms, for example, or Darden's classrooms. I mean, just anything and everything to really give kids a different view of the community they live in. So
does a success story come to mind? Not necessarily of the program you were just talking about, but just the one of the Big Brothers, Big Sisters programs that, or, you know, a mentor that comes to mind during
Absolutely.
Your time there.
I mean, there's really a couple different, and they really range in spectrum. So we have one little boy who is painfully introverted, and he actually was matched with another introverted mentor. And this isn't the one I was mentioning before. This is actually a different one.
This is not the Star Wars.
This is a different one. But we were really concerned about whether or not the two of them, we were concerned about just how they would progress. We knew that they would be a good match, but because they were both so painfully introverted, we weren't 100% sure how that was going to play out. And just recently, the boy came up to the match support specialist who works with them and said, you know, I have a lot of bad days, but when my mentor comes, that's a good day for me. And that's something very, very small. And it's not, you know, call up the press and we're going to do a story on it. But that is so powerful for that one little child, because if every single day for him is bad and tough, but he has a one good day with his mentor, think of the long-term impact that mentor is going to be able to have in that child's life. So that's just one small story. But we have other stories about, you know, kids who were literally failing out of school and their mentor worked with the child and the family, and now they're getting A's and B's. I mean, remarkable turnaround stories. And we have stories, we have bigs in our program who used to be littles in the program. So they went from coming from disadvantaged situations in their lives to going on to get their master's degree and then coming back and mentoring in our program to help, you know, kind of maintain that or keep that cycle moving forward, you know, giving back to the community. I think those to me are the most powerful stories, is really just hearing from people who originally benefited from the program, seeing that they have just gone to do remarkable things, and then they themselves coming back to give back because they recognized how important and needed that was. I mean, if that doesn't speak to how powerful the program is, I don't know what is. If you've gone through it and you recognize how powerful that is and then come back to do it yourself, it's pretty amazing.
This is Jackie Bright. She's the executive director at our local Big Brothers, Big Sisters. We're talking about that with her. It really is an amazing conversation to have. Jackie, I'm curious. So we've settled on and we seem to be talking about the singular relationship, and I realize that that's the focus of what you're doing. But is the Littles family included in any way? I mean, other than it seems like they're part of the interview before a match is made. But does anything else happen?
It does. So we like to say that this is really a triangle that makes for a successful situation for a child. So you've got the agency as one corner of the triangle, the family, and then the big. And we develop relationships with all of those points in that triangle. So the big is developing a relationship with the parent is developing a relationship with us, we're developing a relationship with the big. As far as resources that we can provide to the parents, so we didn't actually touch on this before, but part of what makes our program unique is that we have a staff person who's matched with the match. So they're the individual who's staying with the big and the little through the course of their relationship in the program. They're there for support 24/7. And they actually are contacting the volunteer, the child, and the parent all separately once a month to check in to see how things are going. And during those conversations, we're able to help that parent navigate through some of the challenges they might be struggling with. So, for example, we had an incredibly touching story that happened over the holidays. We had a woman who contacted us. She has two children in our program, and she was about to get evicted. She was really struggling. She'd hit some really hard times, and it was not like her. She's a very hard worker, but, you know, due to some personal issues, some medical issues, she was really falling on hard times. And she contacted us and said, you know, I would never normally do this, but, you know, I'm really scared. I think we're going to get evicted. Do you know of any services in the community? So we kind of racked our brains and we tried to find some resources for her. But in the end, what ended up happening was there was a woman actually who reached out to us not knowing this story, but she wanted to help somebody in our program, and she ended up paying off the debt, the lease debt for the woman, purchased toys for the kids and gas cards and grocery cards, and she even put together bags of groceries and holiday decorations, and she put some of her favorite meals in there, but she had it all itemized out into the so with the recipe. So she put like the elements of the dish and then said that this is one of my family's favorite recipes and here's how you make it. It was the most touching, under the radar story. And you know, that's I guess what we really ultimately hope that we're creating is a community of this network of support for not just the kids, but for the parents and for even the bigs. You know, we're there to provide a lot of support to them too. I mean, the things that they're going through, we get to know the people in our program. And so we're really going outside, you know, of sort of the box, if you will, to give them the support in whatever way they need. It's a really individualized approach. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, I don't know who wasn't touched by that last story.
That was amazing.
Jackie Bright, Big Brothers, Big Sisters of the Central Blue Ridge. 11:52 here on the Wake Up Call, just a few minutes left with Jackie. I want to make sure that we tell people how to get your child enrolled. I mean, I've got that on my list, and there's certainly plenty of other material here to cover, but how do you get your child, or maybe you have a neighbor or someone you know through a coworker to get someone enrolled?
Oh, that's great. So we actually do have a need for young girls right now, especially between the ages of 7 and 11.
You have more big sisters
than
you have young girls?
It is a miracle. It is probably the first time since I have been with the agency that we actually have some more mentors than we have kids. And honestly, this has really been because during the holiday, we really did a huge push to try to recruit mentors, and we were overwhelmed. It was amazing, and overwhelmed in a positive way, just how many people were stepping up. So we have an opportunity for a lot of young girls to come in right now. That doesn't mean that we still don't have some girls in our older demographics still waiting, and little boys waiting. So we still have a waiting list. And this actually will surprise a lot of, this tends to surprise a lot of people, but we average about 100 to 150 kids on a waiting list constantly. So no matter how many bigs we come into the program, how many people we match, we are getting that many more families who are coming in to secure a mentor. So sometimes that's probably the most compelling reason for people to reach out, because they just don't think, oh, well, there's can't be that much of a need, but there is a huge need. We have so many kids on our waiting list, and some of these kids are waiting. They've been waiting for months and months. I mean, in some cases we've had kids who've had to wait for years. There is a real need for mentors in addition to this really awesome opportunity for young girls to enroll. So speaking back to the enrollment for a parent, if you would like to enroll your child, probably the best thing to do is actually give us a call. So it's 434-244-0882, and you can get that information on our website, which is blueridgebigs.org. You can also stop into our office. We're open Monday through Friday. And our office is located on 1000 East Market Street, Suite 100. We're in that yellow building on the corner of Market Street and 10th. And we have a sandwich board outside our door, so can't miss us. But even though I say that we have a waiting list, we are able to move a lot of kids quickly through the waiting list, even though it might sound like that's an overwhelming number. We are able to move kids through fairly quickly. So I do encourage parents to contact us if they have a child who think could benefit from a mentor, as we will do our best to get them matched as soon as possible. And for volunteers, same story. Visit the website, blueridgebigs.org. Give us a call, 434-244-0882, or stop in, and we'll tell you about the program, and hopefully we'll encourage you to sign up.
11:55 here in the Wake Up Call, talking about the Big Brothers, Big Sisters of the Central Blue Ridge here with Jackie Bright, where she's the executive director. We'll have this information up on the podcast. You can go to WNRN.org and look for Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. You can also go to SevillePodcast.org, and we'll have that information there as well, and probably have a pretty little blue link for you to go and find Big Brothers, Big Sisters. Do you have any special, or do you need any special services for kids who's with family members who are in the military?
Oh, you know what? We do provide services to children in who have a military parent. And yes, there's definitely a need. I mean, there's definitely a need for mentors to come in and help kids who might have a deployed parent. And, you know, one thing to sort of piggyback on that when we're talking about services for families is going back to that experience. So we're trying to provide as many group activities and experiences for the people in our program. And if any business out there or organization has a connection and they might be able to help us, you know, with a new pottery class or some type of a fun experience, we would love to hear from you. And for volunteers who are thinking about becoming a BIG, I can tell you that we are always going to fill your week with fun activities. So you don't have to stress and worry about what am I going to do with my little this week, my mentee. We have all types of activities like horseback riding. We get tickets to almost every UVA game. We have tickets to theater. We have discounts at restaurants and, I mean, you name it. We
every UVA game. Can I get matched quickly for that Duke game next Saturday?
I'm telling you what, exactly. But we have companies who donate their suites. So, I mean, we have all the kids and the mentors can go and watch the game and they're fully catered. I mean, it's not just fun for the kids. It's really fun for our mentors. We have access to all these incredible fun activities. And that's actually one of the things that I think, mentors are surprised about the most is, wow, this is like, I get to be a kid again too. I get to do these fun things. We have cooking classes and cooking clubs. And I mean, really, you name it, hiking, running. We're doing actually a partnership with Shenandoah National Park where we're going to have the kids and the bigs go out with rangers and they're going to learn survival skills. So if you're really into The Walking Dead and you're thinking about the zombie apocalypse, you can go and learn some survival skills in the park or camping trips. I mean, you know, we really try to, we have a really fun range of activities that we're putting together for our matches all the time. And there's actually a calendar on our website. So if you're looking through, you can take a look at that calendar and just get a sense of all the activities that we offer. And of course, we're always trying to identify free and low cost activities. That's one other point to make for our bigs who are thinking about becoming a big. This is a free program. We encourage free activities. So this isn't something where you're going to have to be spending a lot of money on a little. We're going to provide you with activities every week. We're going to point you in the direction of free activities. And if you choose to spend a little money during your activities, we definitely encourage that to be a low amount. So this isn't going to be a financial burden for you.
To finish up with this, Drew Thompson from Les Thompson Review will be here in just a sec. But as I'm doing my research, is that a lot of the, quote, millennials having a lot more or increased rates of depression. Mm-hmm. Do you see this at Big Brothers, Big Sisters? Is there something that, you know, that has changed in terms of helping the mentors work with this?
You know, we haven't actually seen a great deal of depression. What we see more is, like I referenced before, I mean, it's situational issues, things like bullying. I mean, that really is the biggest one. But I will say, in thinking about depression, a lot of our mentors, they're reporting that it's really helping them, because maybe if they have mild depression, this is a really unique way of sort of stepping outside of yourself. And so instead of thinking about yourself and, you know, oh, it's always, that's sort of the record that plays in our minds, right? It's what's happening in my day, what's going on with me, my work, my this, my relationship, my this. When you become a mentor to a child, it's really shifting focus to, oh, the child, and thinking about what can I do with the child and what can we do this week? And I want to be a good role model for the child. We hear that a lot, is that being a mentor really helps our bigs to just feel better and to be, you know, enjoy their life better. So.
Jackie Bright, Executive Director at Big Brothers, Big Sisters of the Central Blue Ridge. Jackie, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And BlueRidgeBigs.org. You can always go to SevillePodcast.org, WNRN.org, to catch out the podcast for the show next week. Jordy Yeager is a journalist. You might have seen his article, The Median Man, about panhandling in local intersections, as well as Stephen Hitchcock, director and chaplain at The Haven. They'll both be on talking about the panhandlers hurt the work and the image those at The Haven are trying to do for the homeless. Les Temps Perdue coming up.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Brandon Wong
and Max Cecilia Struther.
Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.